In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Fellow redeemed, looking out across a graveyard is quite a somber feeling, isn't it? You know that beneath each and every single one of those gravestones lay the remains of an individual who lived and breathed and walked on this earth. And it becomes even more difficult when you know the name on the gravestone. Here lies a mother or father, a brother or sister, a son or daughter, a loved one or a friend. And if we're being honest with ourselves, and on this day we must, it's a reality that each and every single one of us will face. Mortality rate is 100%. And unless we're alive on the day when Jesus returns, our bodies will also be placed into the grave. Behold, here lies, insert your name. Now, to the world around us, and even to our fallen flesh, this doesn't come as a surprise. Death is something that we know. This is all we see and experience. And yet, death was never intended by God. Holy Scripture reveals that the triune God is the God of life, not death. In the beginning, he created all things. The heavens and the earth, plants and animals. From the dust of the ground, the Lord God formed the man. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. The Lord God created man to live, to walk, talk, run, to have dominion over the Lord's creation, to bring forth new life through the one flesh union that he would have with the woman that the Lord had created for him. And yet, as you heard on Friday night, through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. You and I and the rest of mankind were brought forth in iniquity, conceived in sin. We sin in thought, word, and deed because we're sinners. Man by nature is opposed to God and is opposed to his good and gracious will for our lives. And where there's sin, unbelief, the rejection of God, there is eternal death and damnation. Man is bound for the grave because of sin. Standing at a distance on that Friday we call good, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and Joseph, Salome, saw Jesus hanging from the cross. And as he breathed his last, they saw Jesus die. His mouth no longer crying out to God, his body going limp and growing cold. And having been taken down dead, the lifeless body from the cross, it was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, who beheld the place where they laid Jesus. But then, very early on the first day of the week, the women come back to the place where they had laid him in order to anoint him, to prepare his body for proper burial, to commit his body to everlasting death. As they were discussing who would roll away the stone for them from the entrance of the tomb, good question, right? They looked up and saw that the stone had been rolled back. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Now, make no mistake about it. Jesus died. The women saw his death. They saw the place where they laid him. And Jesus died because of sin. Now, this wasn't because of any sin that he had committed. As true God in human flesh and blood, Jesus was without sin. He lived in perfect love toward God, where you failed. He lived in perfect love toward neighbor, where you failed. And yet, while he was without sin, he himself bore in his flesh your sin. He was scourged, beaten, mocked, lifted up on the cross for you and your sin. And with nail-pierced hands and feet, he suffered the Father's wrath, punishment for your sin. He endured your death for sin, so that you wouldn't have to endure it for all eternity. Through his wounds, there is forgiveness and life and peace with God. Fellow redeemed, you can't have Easter without Good Friday. You can't skip over it because it makes you feel uncomfortable and confronts you with the truth of sin and death. You need Jesus suffering on the cross. You need Jesus lying in the grave for your offenses. You need Jesus dead for you. And yet, as St. Paul reveals in his first epistle to the Corinthians, our faith would be futile. We would still be in our sin if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. If the women went to the tomb that morning and found a body laying there. And yet here again, the angelic proclamation that brought such astonishment to the mourning women. The announcement that brings life to the world. Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Well, Jesus died. He isn't dead. While he laid down his life of his own accord, he took it back up again. The tomb that once held death and darkness now is empty and echoes the message of life and light to all the earth. Fellow redeemed, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Our Lord didn't rise from the dead simply because he was too powerful to remain in the grave. Instead, Jesus rose from the dead because his death took away the sin of the world. The resurrection of Jesus proclaims loud and clear what he declared in his dying breath on the cross. It is finished. Sin is paid for. Death is undone. Hell is overthrown for you. The empty tomb shouts, Amen. And this is most certainly true to Jesus' victory over sin and death and the devil. Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. This means you're declared righteous for Christ's sake. Your sins are forgiven. And by this forgiveness, you've been reconciled to God, put back into a right standing before him. Jesus has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And because he's not there, it proves that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And trusting in him, clinging to him in faith makes all the difference to us whose lives are headed to the grave. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Believing in Jesus by faith worked through the hearing of the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus' death and resurrection becomes yours. Jesus has made a way from sin and death to forgiveness and life. Guess what? You don't have to wait until the last day for this new life. It has already begun in you now. Consider what took place in the waters of baptism. baptized into Christ's death, you died to sin. All your sins were laid in a watery grave. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too were raised to newness of life through those baptismal waters. A new life that can't be taken away from you. And as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the crucified and risen Christ comes to you in this blessed meal. As your host in your meal, he feeds you his very body, his very blood, the very body and blood that hung on the cross for the forgiveness of all of your sins. He brings it to you, his forgiveness, his life in this meal, strengthening and preserving you in the one true faith until that day where you lie down to rest for that one final time and you close your eyes to fall asleep in Christ and awake to see him face to face. And yet, where they lay your body will only be temporary. In Christ's resurrection, you have the sure and certain promise of your resurrection on the last day. The place where you lay in death cannot hold you. As body and soul is reunited, God will raise you and all the dead and give eternal life and salvation to you and all believers. Consider why it is that St. Paul writes, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The sting of death, the sin, the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Fellow redeemed, on this Easter day, you can rejoice. The tomb of the crucified Christ is empty, for he is risen. See by faith the place where they laid him. See by faith the grave cloths neatly folded, the stone removed, the bright angel attesting, the shroud and napkin resting. Christ is no longer there. Rejoice for Jesus, who laid in death-strong bands for your offenses, now stands triumphant, bringing life to you from heaven. Christ's victory over sin and death and the devil has become your victory over sin and death and the devil. And you can trust God and his blessed word, for it's backed by his innocent suffering and death and through his glorious resurrection from the dead. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.